message is entitled, The Man Who Died For Me. The Man Who Died For Me. You know, that's pretty great love, isn't it? Somebody to die for you. I ought to put on there, The Man That Died For You And Me. Died for you too. I want to begin with a scripture that I think explains that love greater than any place in the Bible. Better than John 3:16. In Romans 5, Romans the 5th chapter, verse beginning with verse 6 through verse 10. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the righteous. No. He died for the ungodly. Great day. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. You can probably get somebody to die for a good man. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, and the other word was ungodly, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. You know what that wrath is? Hell. We'll be saved from hell through him. For if, when we were enemies, and we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See, he died, but he arose to prove that he wasn't dead, and through his life, we have access to God through his death and his life at the right hand of the Father, where he stands or sits making intercession for us. God commended his love for us one time toward us. While we were sinners, while we were ungodly, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified, just as if I had never sinned through his blood, I or you shall be saved from wrath through him. For by his death, while we were enemies, God reconciled us to God, and we'll be saved now by his life. You know, last Sunday we had a Holy Ghost message in tongues and prophecy that Jesus was walking around searching our hearts and looking us over, giving us a good examination. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. He made a great commitment to us through his apostles and said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of you. I'm there with you. Praise God. We come here, the first thing we do is to invoke his blessing and his through his presence through prayer. And the Holy Ghost gave us through prophecy the confirmation of what we had prayed and sought for. I am in your midst, and I am searching your heart. I'm trying you, praise God, and searching to see what's in that heart, what you have in that heart. I'm going not only to search it out, but I'm going to reveal it to you, praise God, that you'll know what to do about it. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for an ungodly person like you and I once were, if you're saved. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but Christ died for you and I while we were yet sinners and ungodly. He didn't die for us after we got good. He died for us before we got good. And we've got to recognize the fact that the sacrifice that he made on that cross, he made it for you. He made it for me. We don't have to accept it. The Bible speaks of walking over the blood of Jesus Christ, of trampling his blood and his mercy under our feet. And God warns us of walking over that blood. In Hebrews the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, in what I'm going to preach about this morning, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the powers of the world to come, and the good word of God. If they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they've crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and have put him to an open shame, crucifying Christ all over again. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 27 and 28, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. Jesus Christ is not going to be crucified again by nobody, you or I. He suffered the shame, the indignities, and all that ignominious grief that was heaped upon him that day when he died on a Friday. We call it Good Friday, and it was a Good Friday. Good for you and me, he did it. It was a Good Friday. It was very good. I want us to look at that Friday. I want us to look at it in Luke's account in the 23rd chapter, that Good Friday, that all the Gospels record. But I want to look first at Luke's account. All the multitude cried out against Christ. In the 22nd chapter, just briefly, verse 64, when they blindfolded him and struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And they smote him and they mocked him and spake blasphemously against him. And said, if you are the Christ, tell us. And he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. All that shame, all that ridicule that he suffered for you and I. The 23rd chapter, he was led away to Pilate from this Sanhedrin court of the Jews that were filled with hatred toward him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. So they brought him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him and said, he perverts the whole nation. He forbids to give tribute to Caesar. And he says that he's Christ the King. Pilate said, are you the King of the Jews? He said, you say it. He went to the people and he said, I find no fault in this man. There's nobody ever been able to find any fault with Jesus. And he's on everybody's hands. We all have to do like Pilate to judge him, either guilty of perverting the nation, being a blasphemer, so forth, or we have to accept him as being Christ the King. So Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod was desirous to see him, and for a long time he desired. He wanted to see a miracle. But he questioned him with many words. And before Herod, the chief priests and the scribes of the Jewish nation stood and accused him vehemently. And all the men of war in Herod, when he refused to talk or perform a miracle, they mocked him. They arrayed him in gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends that were before were at enmity between them. Let me tell you something. When you accept Christ, you separate yourself. There's a separation that comes about with them old friends you've been running around with and enjoying being with. You had to get you a new list of friends. You throw them old telephone numbers away, them old house addresses, them old names away, the boys. You get you a new list of friends, and when you reject Christ, you get two people together that's rejected Christ and they're enemies, and they become friends. And they're hostile toward you. Yeah, it always works like that. So, they brought him back again to Pilate. And Pilate, with the chief priest before him, and said, listen, said, you brought this man to me before, and I examined him, and I found no fault in him touching those things that you accuse him of, nor yet Herod, for I sent him to you, and he found nothing in him worthy of death. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one at the feast. And they cried out at once, release unto us Barabbas. Now Barabbas was in jail for sedition, for murder, and he was a robber, a thief. And Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake to them again, hey, I'll release Jesus to you. And they said, crucify him. He said, what evil has he done? I found no cause of death. I'll chastise him and let him go. But they were louder in their cried out against Christ, screaming for his blood, crucify him.